Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Orlando Entrepreneur Show. My name is Josh, and I'm an entrepreneur having conversations with other entrepreneurs based here in Orlando to learn about their business and to capture their stories and share it with you guys to give you hope, inspiration, education, so we too can build awesome stuff. On today's show, we're going to have a conversation with Austin, who's the CEO of a company called The Mouse Merch Box. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Austin to the show. Austin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey there.
Howdy, howdy. So tell us, what is the Mouse Merch Box?
Yeah, for sure. So the Mouse Merch Box, it's a subscription-based company. We do a quarterly subscription box with Disney and their licensees. That's pretty much it. Along with that, I guess we do also sell like one-off products as like just simple retail as well. So if you don't want to commit to the box, you can just buy some random stuff as if we were a Disney store.
Okay. So let me just make sure I understand this correctly. Is, you know, my daughter, she's five. She loves Disney. She can, you know, her and her parents help could go on your website, get a subscription. And then what happens after that? So we say, yes, we want to subscribe to the box. What happens from there on?
Yeah, for sure. So pretty much what happens is we only have the subscriptions open quarterly right now. So from there, in the month that we're open, you subscribe to the box and it ships out the same day because we're pretty efficient over here, and that's it. It shows up in 3 to 5 days, or if you order quicker shipping, sooner.
Okay. So she gets a box in the mail, right? And she opens this box. What kind of stuff can a five-year-old or even adults, what could people expect when they open this box? Like, talk to us about the experience there.
It's always all kinds of different things. There's anywhere from jewelry, apparel, handbags, patches, pins. More stuff is coming later on in the year as we're growing with everything we're adding on. All kinds of different things. Pretty much anything you can find at the parks besides like toys, we have it.
Nice. So is it kind of a surprise? Like you pay the money and you get some type of surprise, or do you know what you're going to get beforehand?
We announce what is coming in it, so on the day that it opens up. So if we're going to do box, I think the next one opens up on March 1st. On March 1st is when everybody knows what's coming.
Nice. All right. So I understand this, you know, so you could subscribe, you could get this box, it comes in the mail, you get excited, you open it up, and there's the gifts, the excitement, and you unbox this adventure of Disney stuff. So Austin, why don't you kind of talk to us about, how did you come up with this idea? How did it start? Bring us back to the very beginning.
Yeah, for sure. So the idea kind of came to me on my honeymoon in 2017. I had been spending like $80 a month on a beard box, and my wife then too. So at that point, she was also spending a lot of money on Fabletics or FabFitFun, one of them. I don't know which one. And it's like, we should do this. I don't know what we're going to do, but we were on our honeymoon at Disney and we love Disney. So we just kind of put it all together and made it happen. How we started though was, there's a whole like Disney community of like people who kind of make their own product legally somehow. I'm not really sure how, but they do. And so that's who we started out with. Was working with all of them. They're all really good friends of ours. Like some of our best friends, like we hung out with them for New Year's Eve and things like that this year. And so contacted them, said, hey, here's what we want to do. And we launched it in, I think it was July 2017. And it went crazy right away. And then it just kept on growing. And then in April 2018, Disney Publishing, which is the book company for Disney, contacted us and decided that they want to put their product in the box. And they didn't like the idea of going with the small shop stuff. So I kind of countered them with, oh, give me your licensees and we'll just work that out. And from there, just kind of blew up even more than we could have ever dreamed.
Holy moly. Okay, so you have a licensing deal. Disney contacted you, which is always cool when Disney contacts you for, you know, for business. And they said, we want to expand our products through you as a distribution. Mm-hmm. And you started, what kind of products were they encouraging you to push?
Yeah, so they start out with books, and then they kind of put it on me to go to everyone else. They didn't just be like, all right, here's all the emails you need, have fun. They were kind of just like, good luck. They gave me nothing. I'm like, here's your books. Whatever else you want to do, you got to do it yourself. So I literally just went to the contact us of like Disney licensing websites and just emailed people. It's like, hey, I'm Austin. I'm working at Disney Publishing, but I want to do this. What do you think? And some people said yes. Some people said no. Like 99% of them said yes. The ones who said no, they don't have it in their contract to do subscription boxes yet. So, you know, that happens. But like the first one that I contacted was Daniel Nicole from Daniel Nicole Handbags, which is like the premier handbag company for Disney right now. All her stuff is like the characters' faces on a handbag. Larry just kind of blindly shot her an email at like 8 o'clock right after we got the Disney publishing deal. At 11 o'clock at night, she emailed back and said, let's have a call tomorrow at 11 a.m. Like, oh crap. Okay. Let's do it. I'm excited. Called her. She didn't answer the phone. So I was like, it's not going to happen. Like, I don't know what to do. She called back. We had a 6-minute meeting of me saying, we want to do this. So cool. Let's do it. Here's my salesperson. Talk to you soon. That was like my run right there. I got super pumped and just started contacting everybody. And here we are.
Wow. All right. So I almost skipped over this. I wrote it down and I'm glad I came back to this. On your honeymoon, you and your wife were thinking about Disney products, right? So did you guys love Disney, right? So talk to us about why were you thinking about Disney on your honeymoon?
I mean, we were at Disney.
Okay.
But I mean, we've been living in South Florida. So she's from South Florida and we were living down there and after we got engaged, everything that happens to us at Disney, I promise. We got engaged at Disney in December of 2015. We'll go with that.
Yeah, get your numbers right, Austin.
Yeah, I think that's
might be listening right now.
Was. And you know, we had this idea to move to Orlando more as a joke for Disney. And then before we got married, I moved up to Orlando for Disney. And so it just, everything literally like is centered around Disney for us. So we just kind of created off of it and decided to monetize our lives from it.
Wow. That's so cool. All right. So for the ladies and gentlemen who are listening into the show, we're based here in Orlando, which is obviously known for Mickey Mouse and Disney World. But I'm looking in the background. We're on video, but I want to describe to you. I see a almost a life-size poster of it looks like the Frozen characters, Elsa and Anna. I have a 5-year-old daughter, so I'm allowed to know this. But like, there's Disney products, and there's like, you really do love Disney, you and your wife.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We don't right now, but we have like a whole shelf that's just like, just kinds of all kinds of stuff we collect over the years. Over like our past like 5 moves, I haven't unpacked it, but it's like have like 26 Tsum Tsums, like 1,000 mugs from Disney. Random shirts, they do like the drawings at Disney, you know, like real artists come in. Yeah. Like 7 of those just like in frames that we haven't put up yet. And just all this random stuff that just kind of shows up. We have like, I don't think I have any more. We have like, we found these super old backpacks away from like maybe like the 80s or something that are like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. And they're disgusting, but they were so cool. And like, we just have all this random stuff.
Of Disney stuff. You guys love Disney, but this is something that you guys do as a couple. Now talk to you said that there's communities of people who are Disney enthusiasts who make Disney products, who love Disney products. There are some major Disney fans out there, I assume.
Yeah.
All right, give me some stories of like some major Disney fans that you know or that you got. You know, give us some ideas of the love of Disney here in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like different personas of each Disney fan. So like, we're like, I know a lot of like history about like Walt Disney and the company as a whole and Walt Disney's journey as a kid, like up through it. That's like my inspirational person, I guess. Katie's my wife. She loves products. She loves all the Disney products. She'll like, we have to like limit, like, okay, you can't buy that today. Like stop somewhere. We have friends who are like, they know everything. I don't know how they know everything. Like at Port Orleans Riverside, which is one of the resorts at Disney, every Tuesday they do trivia. This isn't like Disney trivia that's like, who is the character on Frozen, the weird look of snowman. It's like, what character said this, but who was the voice of it in the film in 1962 that was directed by this guy? Like, people were like, oh, it's that. People know a lot more than like you would think. It's like, think of a sports fan who is like the ultimate fan of like the Miami Dolphins. They know everything. They know the history. That's how people are with Disney.
Wow. It's so there's a community crazy. Of people that you guys were a part of because you guys got engaged at Disney. Mm-hmm. And then you guys did your honeymoon there and like you guys love Disney. So, but there's communities of people and you guys were thinking, you know, like we're spending all this money here at Disney. Why not build our life and business around this? Cause that's what you said. You wanted to monetize this kind of adventure. Mm-hmm. So what happened next? You said, okay, you know, you were buying the beard box, which you have a good beard. I can't grow one.
Thank you. It was actually bigger. I just shaved it, but yeah.
Oh, nice. See, I can't grow one, but you were buying the beard, you know, box subscription and she was getting a subscription. You said, why not do this for Disney? Was there no one else who was doing this?
So there are, but I'm trying to figure out how to say this nicely about them. They're like, I don't know how they're doing it legally, honestly, because of the stuff that they're doing, Disney told us we can't do. So, like, okay. Just kind of watching them, like, how are you doing that? Why can't I do that? They told me no, but you're doing it. But they're not like us, where they're working directly with Disney, you know? And so, like, there's other ones out there. I know some of our friends tried to – some of our friends, we know them. They tried to start their own, like when we were doing the small shop thing, they tried to start their own. They just could not get it off the ground. Like the thing about it is that it takes so much planning and just discipline of like, you know, absolute structure that it takes like a weird person to run this for structure. And I think the people who do it are pretty good. And those other ones just, I don't know what's going to happen with them, I guess.
Sure. So what was the next step? You guys said, we're going to do this. We thought about it. We're buying these boxes over here. And you know, I'm sure you guys have learned a lot.
Yeah. But
like, what was the next step in building a subscription box business?
Yeah. So for us, I had a really good friend. He was like, he owned an agency or an advertising agency in St. Louis. Then he moved to Orlando. And he helped me build out my website, buy my domain, basically tell me how to do all like the tech side of things. And so about the domain, we LLC'd, started like a PayPal account with all the business stuff. And then just like looked at all these shops, like, okay, we do this product this month. Like and we planned out a whole, like, so we started in July. So we planned July through December of boxes of like, these are the themes. These are the potential products depending on what people come out with. And so we planned and planned. One of our friends is an amazing designer. She actually did the logo for Paradiso 37, which is the one of the restaurants at Disney Springs. So we're like, oh, you like have some credibility. So she did our logo. She gave us like six different logos, and we landed on the one we have. So we branded out right away. And we built it up for like 3 months to all of our Disney community people on Instagram. And, you know, we got some influencers who had huge followings for a Disney community. And we just kind of hit the ground running.
Nice. So talk to us about, you know, there's an existing community, but you went to the people who were already doing it, the handbags and some other merchandise, and there were some influencers. Talk to us about what it's like to work with an influencer in terms of a partnership with them. So you guys have a product that you guys are selling. Like, why would, you know, talk to us about the whole influencer marketing aspect that you guys went through.
Yeah. So for us, the influencer thing was, we didn't do the same as like a lot of big businesses do, because of the influencers in the Disney community are like 25,000 followers, maybe 50,000 if they're lucky, but more like 10 to 25,000. And the ones who were doing really good at the time we started were just some of our really good friends already. Like, hey, we'll give you some product if you promote it. And that was it. And so now we've kind of built a bigger influencer structure, I guess, around us. I think we have 12 now and about to add 3 more. And they're all like our friends. So the product we give them, it's really good quality product. It's worth a lot. So we just kind of say, hey, we'll give you this. You promote it. Cool. That's it. And then starting in, I think it's on the 15th of January, I think we are going to start like paying commissions for their sales as well. That way they have more of an incentive to post more and promote more and things like that.
Wow. Now I'm looking on Instagram, and you could find them on Instagram at the Mouse Merch Box. And I'm looking, you guys have like over 13,000 followers. You guys have a really tight knit community, right? So you and your friends are Disney enthusiasts. You hang out together. You guys work together. You help each other with each other's products. Like, how did you guys discover this? Like, did you meet your wife at Disney or?
No, I met her at the church I worked at in South Florida. So that's how we met. Now what happened was that, ironically, 3 years before we started the box, I tried to start a Disney travel agency. I did start one. I didn't try. I really did it, and it was really hard. but I figured one of the things for marketing I should do is create a Disney Instagram for it. And so it's called The Traveling Mouse. And we built this thing up for 3 years. It only had 8,000 followers. But at that point, there wasn't really a Disney community yet, but a small one, like around the 8,000 mark. Now it's ridiculously huge. And so we started making all these friends. And so that's kind of how we insert ourselves into the community. And then we use that to be like, hey, we're doing this. So that's kind of just how it all just started from there, I guess.
Ah, very cool. All right. So you guys made a decision to move from South Florida to Orlando. For Disney. Why did you, move here? What was the motivating factor? Like, was it a job, or was it because of this? Was it just your love for Disney?
South Florida is really expensive, so that's part of it. But then even besides that, it really was just our love of Disney and kind of to start our life, not underneath any family member either. Like, we didn't go back to Indiana to start there with me and my family, and we didn't stay in South Florida. So we went to Orlando because we spent every weekend there anyways. So, we found a place and moved up, and then jobs kind of fell into place right afterwards.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, being a Disney enthusiast and being in this community, is there anything like, are there any really cool things that you know about Disney that the common person, maybe who even lives here in Orlando, should know but doesn't know? That you're allowed to tell us?
I'm sure there is. I feel like I know a lot of park things that a lot of people know, but a lot of people don't know. But I also used to work at the parks as well, so I know a lot of like behind the scenes cast member things too. Nice. And so like, I don't know how many people really know, like, Magic Kingdom is actually the second level, like where you walk is the second level, and underneath is where all the cast members like walk around. Does that make sense? Like, that's how,
so there's an underground layer under the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. It's called, the Utilidors. So what happens is that, underneath is where like the cast members go from point A to point B. So like when you're in Disney, you don't see, someone from Adventureland in New Fantasyland because it all doesn't match. Like, they're wearing pirate outfits compared to like, Pinocchio things. So to go from like point A to point B, if they're doing like a shift change or whatever, there's like doors in the back. You just go downstairs and then you pop out in Fantasyland. And so, and they do have a tour for it at Magic Kingdom for guests. It's super cool. It's called Keys to the Kingdom Tour. Definitely do it. It's amazing. Super worth it. And awesome. You'll learn all about that stuff.
So there's literally an underground lair under Magic Kingdom. See, I didn't know that. That's really cool. Awesome. Okay. So what about, so you used to work there. What did you do working for Disney?
Yeah, I did ticket sales at Epcot. That was okay. It was my first day by myself, not being trained anymore, was the first day of Food and Wine Festival. So it was an absolute nightmare. I was there for, I think, like 14 hours straight, just people like being really rude about when to go in and get their wine. And so I was like, okay. Like, we want this ticket. I was like, I don't know how to do that, but okay. And like, it was fun. It was a good time when it wasn't Food and Wine Festival. But you know, working for the company was great. I don't think they overwork you like everyone else does, but I also had a job where I set down the AC. So there's that. But it was super fun. Ticket sales. I would definitely say anyone should do that job. It's not the easiest, but one of the easier ones because you're not outside in the heat and you know, you get to leave earlier than everyone else because you know, the park's open till midnight. You're not staying there till 10 because who's coming to buy tickets at 10 p.m. to go to parks, you know? So it was fun. And I learned a lot about the company, which helped my knowledge going into the whole Disney deal. So.
Sure. Absolutely. So were there some pretty cool perks? Obviously, you know, working at Disney, you got Disney passes, which the wife probably loved.
Yeah. The issue was that we already had our annual passes paid for. And so they didn't like refund us. So it was like a waste for those passes. But the cast member discount was really good. Like on food and merchandise. We could get people in for free. So if her family came up or my family came down from Indiana, we got to take them in for free, which is really nice. And that, you know, saves a lot of money in the end. There's probably benefits I didn't use just because I didn't know about them. Sure. But yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I loved it. I would, you know, do it again if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now for sure.
Right on. All right. So you got this, the mouse merch box and, talk to us about, you know, the operations. It's a husband wife team and, you know, like talk to us about operations and going into business with your wife. Like how big is the company? Like give us some behind the scenes view into your business.
Yeah, so I mean, right now it's mostly just me. My wife Katie has a real job, as everyone else calls it. That my job is still a play job, apparently. I don't know why, but because it's Disney, so it's a play job. She has a real job, I guess, where she does interior design online for a company in San Francisco. And so, kind of the only thing she helps with is she picks out some product, because, like I said, she loves product. And so, like when we get the new catalogs every month from all the licensees or when we're creating products, she kind of is like, oh, you should do that. And I trust her style way more than I trust mine. So, you know, so that's what she does. And then, but like operations side is pretty much every day, wake up, answer emails, pack up whatever orders there are. Post some stuff on Instagram, try to do as much interaction in the community as possible as well, just kind of for brand community aspect. Pack some more orders, send out some newsletters, you know, normal things like that, I guess.
So do you guys go to the park often? Like when you say you're engaging with the Disney community, like how are you doing that? Are you actually going to the park? Are you doing it online somewhere? What's that look like?
Yeah, for sure. I go to the parks like most of the time, 6 out of 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah, like a lot. Katie goes maybe once a week because that's really all she has time for. And then like, so we'll meet up with like friends there, like random social media followers or customers or whatever, and just kind of hang out, like buy them a drink or a pretzel or something random. Just like, hey, like we appreciate you, you know. If we don't go to the parks or, you know, whatever, it's kind of just a lot of FaceTime on like Instagram stories and like live streams. We just started like a Facebook group for like, we call it the Mouse Merch Box friend group. And it's just like a bunch of like our subscribers and customers, Instagram followers, random friends, can just kind of be in this little like community of based around our brand. That's just kind of like, and all we do is just talk about Disney. Like I'll post us a mouse merch box sometime. Like, hey, here's a sneak peek for something coming out in like 2 weeks. Like we have some new ears coming out. And so it's like, what do you guys think of these? Do you love them or hate them? And everybody chimed in. It's like, they're great. They suck. These are ugly. They're amazing. I can't wait. Like all over the place. And so a lot of it now is just a lot of community things, and we're not, you know, drowning in orders and things like that from holidays, which is nice. Yeah, the community thing, that's probably the biggest part that we're working on now.
So you helped develop and create a community by bringing people together. You're bringing people who are already selling Disney merchandise, licensees, and so you're bringing them together and you're helping them sell more product, and you're bringing, you know, customers together through the stories and through the engagement. You're meeting them at the park and experiencing the joy with it, right? So why is it, for the entrepreneurs listening in, why is it important to, I guess, find the niche community for a specific product, like really get niched in on the community? Why is that important? And give us some tips for how to really engage community.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. Just, you can know your customer base that way. Like our clientele is like, it's pretty much all women because Disney's a very female dominated thing. But like, it's good to know the niche of, like, you know, everybody, like the trend right now is like Moana or Mickey for his 90th birthday. So it's good to know like the community of like, everyone's on this huge Mickey jump train right now because he just celebrated his 90th birthday. Every merchandise out there right now is Mickey. It's all amazing. We came out with two of our own things that were Mickey this year and they blew up. And, you know, just knowing the community, like what they really want and need, that'll help sales go. It'll just, and you know, it's good for like your personal self as well. Like, you know, if you love the niche as well, like obviously we love Disney. So it's really easy for us to like build and create and just make all this happen.
Sure. In the community, you know, talk to us about how many boxes are you shipping out during a season? Cause you're doing it once a quarter. Like, I mean, give us an idea for the kind of volume that you're doing or your subscribers.
Yeah, our subscriber count, I don't think I've gotten the new report yet, actually, from holiday season yet. I think we're sitting around 150 right now. There's a lot of like churn rate during holidays because a lot of people will just buy, like, we sell a one-time box as well. So if you don't want to commit to the subscription, you can just buy this box. It's one time. It's $10 more, whatever. We get a lot more of that right around Halloween holiday time. Just because people don't want to buy, you know, their 15-year-old granddaughter a full year of boxes, you know, because they're like, I don't know what this is. So, okay, here you go. Have fun. Bye. We pretty much keep most of them. I think we only have like 12 drop-offs since holiday ended, I think, which is better than last year, like substantially. So, and the other thing is we did move around a lot this year. So we did have to like close down twice. That took out a lot, like a big chunk of people. Cause like before that, I think we were sitting around like 300, 280 ish. So when we closed, we had to completely like cancel everybody. And like, we didn't know the tech side of like, oh, we could just pause all the subscriptions. So we kind of screwed ourselves. We've learned now, but, you know, kind of a lot, but our retail sales as well, they push a lot. I mean, I think we count, pretty much don't have much left after holiday this year, and that's a good thing. I think we hold around like 1,000 units a month right now, but that number is about to go way higher. So there's a lot that goes out the door.
What do you think was like the best decision you made for the business?
I think moving us back down to Florida from Indiana. Just because that's where the market is, that's where the community is, and it was better for us, just for personal reasons. So for some background, we moved to Indiana in January, like 2018, and then we moved back to Florida in August because just we couldn't deal with it. Like I don't want to say we were depressed, but we were pretty depressed. We had no friends up there. It was just my family that we didn't see because everyone works, you know, and it snowed till May, and we went to Disney one time during the whole thing, and it was the best week ever. And I was like, we gotta leave, we gotta get out here. So moving back down was the best thing that's ever happened for my business, for sure.
Awesome. What's your wife think about the business?
She loves it. She loves that it's an outlet for me to express my love for Disney, for sure. She loves being a part of it. I think her favorite part of it is that it still amazes her what we've accomplished at, mostly at our age, and to kind of how quickly we did it and how, like, so one of our things, we don't compare ourselves to anybody, but this one thing is a little bit hard not to, because of, we haven't been doing this long, we got this deal, you know. She's amazed that we've been able to like do this and like make it fund our lives and, you know, make it a real thing compared to everyone. When we started, it was like, yeah, that'll never be your real business. Like, it'll be your side thing. And that was fuel for me. I was like, yeah, we'll do this. Don't worry. And so that's her favorite part for sure.
Awesome. Now, what's it like? So she does a little bit of the product choices, right? So she helps, you know, because she has a better eye for it. So you kind of trust her in that. Have you guys had one product that really, really, really works well? Like, you just can't keep enough in stock?
Yeah, I'll show you. I guess I won't show everybody else, but I'll show
you.
We're
on a podcast here.
Right, yeah, I didn't think about that. But we had this, it's from this company called Loungefly. They're a backpack, bag company. We have this crossbody. It was a Mickey pants bag. And this thing was amazing. It's the coolest bag ever. We had to hold one bag for Katie, obviously. And it's literally just Mickey's pants. That's it. And those things, they just, like wildfire, they just go out. It's amazing. And then what was really cool was that Loungefly was selling them for a bit, and they stopped. And then we bought their stock in it. And then they started showing up at like the Disney stores and the parks. We were like, oh, we carry this too. What was even better was that for Mickey's 90th birthday special on ABC, that product was on there, and people were like, your product's on the TV. I was like, it's not really ours, but yeah, we sold it. So like that thing, it goes quick. We had a crossbody. A lot of our crossbodies go really fast. I'm realizing this now. We had like an Aurora, the Sleeping Beauty. It was just like her profile of her head, and those went in like 5 minutes, and we haven't been able to get them since. And like, it was cool because of like HS, the Home Shopping Network, who's this majorly huge company. They're outstandingly large. They're on TV, like, you know, do the whole thing. They had them, but people were leaving them and buying ours instead. So they would cancel their order with HSN, but then come buy them from us to support us. And so those went in like 5 minutes, and HSN still has a lot left. That's nice. When we sell like the Funko Pops, those weird little collectible items that have like the black eyes, they're kind of scary looking, but they're collectible. So people love them. Our Mickey 90th Steamboat Willie Funko Pop we didn't even get to keep one, which I'm really frustrated about, because I love Steamboat Willie, and they went in like an hour. So a lot of stuff goes quick.
Very cool. What does the future look like for the Mouse Merch Box? So you're striking a deal with Disney themselves, so doing a licensing deal, which is huge for you and your business. Like, what does the future look like for you guys?
Yeah, so the future right now looks like, we just kind of figured this out the other day, was that 2019 is going to be a big growth year for us. So we're going to kind of have the deal with Disney now, like the offer up, not like prices or anything, but like the characters we get and like all the properties and whatnot. Got a lot of products in the works of like for manufacturing that we're making. I think we're doing like for the opening for Aladdin. I think we're coming out with like a genie necklace, or like the what's it called? The magic lamp necklace, and like two other things. I can't remember what they are. For Lion King, I've drawn up like 400 different things. That's my favorite movie. And so we have like a Simba profile head necklace with like the red line. Some clothing and bags and all kinds of Lion King things coming out. Just a lot is in the works right now for like product. And then for marketing and stuff, we're going to start working with an agency here soon to help us out with some like social ads and like affiliate marketing, which they work with companies like Manscaped and FatFitFun and Trendy Boat, like all these huge subscription boxes. And so that should help us out a little bit as well. And 2020 is going to be like our statement year, basically, is what I'm going to call it, as we're planning out of like, hey, our subs in the parks now, or, you know, subscription box for Disney. And that's kind of all the farther I've planned so far, I guess.
Very cool. Very cool. Is there a term that you identify, or is there a special name for Disney enthusiast, like any nicknames that you guys call each other, anything like that? Cause I don't know. I'm not in the niche community, so I really don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe cause we're in the community, we don't know, but maybe like everyone outside the community just calls us all like weird, like crazy, and thinks we're all like still kids. Like everyone's like, oh, you're just a kid because you love Disney. It's like, okay. So like, it's okay. So I don't think there's like a real name, I guess. Maybe there is. I just don't know.
You know what's great though? You're making money.
Yeah.
Supporting your life, doing something that you really love. And I think that's the coolest thing about entrepreneurship is you can find these things. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs out there who are looking to start a business, you know, for themselves, doing something that they love with the community that they love? What's one piece of advice that you would say, this is the most important thing that I've learned to date?
Just do it. Honestly, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, just start, like, just do it. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't. And if they do, use that as like kind of your fuel and your jetpack and just do it. But that's like, you know, a fun way to tell it, I guess. But I guess plan out everything. Know like the next step before you do, like, if there's like a 3-step process, know the 4th step before you even get to step 2. That way you can, you know, accommodate whatever you need to on the way.
Nice.
So.
Okay. All right. Right on. What question should I be asking you about your business, about your life, or about Disney that I didn't ask you that you think the audience should really know?
What question do you want to ask me?
I don't know. All right, but with your love, you and your wife's love for Disney, I guess, do you guys have any kids or any plans of little Mickey Mouses or Minnie Mouses coming out?
No, we haven't planned for it. I mean, we're pretty young. She's only 22 and I'm 24, so I don't really want to, not ready for it yet.
Not ready for that yet. Right on. Yeah. Well, anybody in your audience who are your influencers or some of your Disney enthusiasts that you want to give a shout out to while we're here?
Sure. Our influencers are great. We have so many good ones. I actually have to look them all up right now because there's so many of them. Emily Nelson is amazing. She has a YouTube channel. Abby Corkins, her channel is amazing. She's from Indiana, so we both talk a lot of crap about Indiana, so that's fun for us. Beth Shanks, she actually works at the parks. She's an influencer. She works at Big Top Circus, which is in like this carnival part, and she makes like the caramel apples and all the candy and stuff. So she's got like the coolest shop on property for sure, just because she gets to make candy and hand it out. She always gives us free stuff too, so that's fun. We have so many. There's too many to name, but all of them, they're all amazing and they all know who they are. So
when you go to Disney and an influencer sees an influencer, do they go, oh my gosh, there's Austin, or like, do people recognize you?
There's, so I don't think with us it's as big of a deal because we are there so much and we see so many people. It's not like we're on a fame level, which I don't really want too much. I like to enjoy the parks, but like some of our friends are like, they are like Disney Instagram famous. Like it's weird hanging out with them because people will be like, oh my god, it's Cody T, like, oh, and he's a musical person and he owns a shop, and so like I'm just gonna go ride that ride, but not anymore. Okay, cool. But like some influencers, it gets crazy. Are like Emily Nelson, who I just named, she's a huge YouTuber right now for the Disney community, and I think even for YouTube members, I mean, she's at like 50,000 subscribers, which I feel like is pretty big for YouTube. She's a celebrity, and she's actually a performer like on the stage too. So she's like the best of both worlds. Her end goal is to have a Disney original movie, like sign a contract with Disney and film like a movie for the Disney Channel.
Nice. That'd be like, pretty cool.
Yeah. I was like, I hope you do that. So, cause we'll have a part in it somehow. But, yeah, influencers seeing influencers. It's interesting to see.
Very cool. Well, I guess the last question that I have for you is, what is the trick to get to to get through the rides quicker? Because I'm going to take my daughter to Disney. And are there any tricks or any tips that you have for getting on rides faster or for making the most of the park?
Making the most of the park. I would say plan out Fast Pass as well. That's a big one. Just know the dead time of year. We're spoiled because we live here, obviously. And if it's over a 15-minute wait, we don't go, honestly. Like, we don't go on rides. We just kind of walk around. We'll just sit and look at the castle and, like, cry forever. And so, you can sort of kind of work some things out with cast members. If you can, like, make them laugh or something, they might just let you get in the Fast Pass line for fun. Or if you know someone, they do, like, hand out, like, the paper Fast Passes still.
Sounds good. All right, man. So where can our audience find you and learn more about you and your business?
Yeah, so the business you can find on Instagram at the Mouse Merch Box, same on Facebook. We are getting ready to start a YouTube channel, just kind of like a behind-the-scenes vlog of the business, which we'll post on our Instagram. You can find me on LinkedIn. Search Austin Frederick. I think that's it.
And what's your website?
Our website is www.themousemerchbox.com.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, Austin, thanks for sharing the story, the Disney story here, and for telling us about your passion for the community there and for all the cool things that you're doing for, you know, you and your family and for the Disney enthusiasts out there, man. Appreciate your story.
For sure.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening into the show. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I hope you guys are also Disney enthusiasts and that you connect with Austin and his business and learn more about it and maybe see him at the parks. So I'll put the links to his social channels in the show notes. So if you guys are driving, just drive safely, go to the show notes, click on it, connect with him, and you guys could talk all about cool Disney products as you guys explore Disney here in Orlando, Florida. So, Austin, have a great day. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the show, and we will talk with you all on the next episode. We'll see you, Austin.
Bye.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start up a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You can also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.